I want you to turn to the Word of God, the Bible, to Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel chapter 34. Now, Ezekiel means, God will strengthen. First of all, he does it individually. And I want to emphasize that today. And the community is nothing more than individuals. So the fact that we commune together, not with every man, we commune together as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's not with every man. But we love every man. And we bless them and forgive them, and so on. But we commune together as a family of God because we're new creations. No longer Jew or Gentile. You're part of God's new creation. And everybody can be, could be, a believer. Everybody. Without exception. Even bad guys. Even bad guys is meaning also bad guys, because that's all there are. You have to be ungodly to be a Christian. Amen. You have to have ungodliness in you to be a Christian. He did not come for the righteous. He said that. I did not come for the righteous. That is self-righteousness. I did not come for the righteous. I came for those who have my righteousness. That's a big difference. His righteousness is not according to the law. It's according to the better, higher law, the gospel. Hallelujah. That's reading the Bible according to the spirit of the law, which sets me free. The spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which has set me free from the law of sin and death. So the lower law is not destroyed. The lower law is not destroyed. It's just simply fulfilled, because the lower law cannot get you to heaven. Keeping the lower law, celebrating outward rituals and making the Sabbath the seventh day and all that, that's not the eighth. Seven is not eight. And so even though God winked at that previously, that wasn't because their sins were gone. As a matter of fact, even though they made a covenant and believed in the covenant, they didn't act on it in the same way, because they acted. In fact, all they did is produce flesh. All they did is produce flesh. All they did is produce flesh. But however, a few of them had faith. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, King David and all those people, prophets, they had faith in God. So they actually came in the same way we did, only they were chosen by election. God elected them in Abraham, which were the Jewish people, and they came in through being part of the loins of Abraham. They were in his loins, even as he became the father of faith. So Ezekiel means God will strengthen his people. But you are his people the same as they are. Or they are, who have faith, the same as we are. So there's no difference. Jew and Gentile, kine katesis, a brand new of a different kind that it's never been before, nothing natural here. A new creation, not the natural creation. A new creation, not like everybody else. A new creation. And that is the higher law that rejoices through the mercy of God, that the holiness is not the holiness by which he condemns a sinner. It's that holiness by which he makes us saints through faith in Jesus Christ and his words. And his words. So this Ezekiel has three parts to it. Three parts to it. I want you to memorize this. Think about it. Meditate on it. The first part is the judgment of Judah and Jerusalem. That's the first part of Ezekiel. That the northern tribes, 100 years before this, more than that, but roughly that, already were taken away, the 10 tribes of the north. They were already taken away by the Assyrians. And when they came back into the land, the handful that did, they were now Samaritans. And that's some area between Jerusalem and Assyria, some area. And so now they're Samaritans, and they're half-breeds. They're not fish nor fowl. They're neither Jewish because they've been polluted, nor are they Gentile. They don't know who they are. And they're treated miserably by the Jewish people, though today they're protected. They're a protected group, and I don't know how many there are. I don't know how many there are. But it used to be 50, 60,000, something along that line. But it could be more than that, or it could be less than that, because they're not allowed to marry outsiders. So I don't know how many there are. You can have a lot of kids, and they might. I don't really know. So the first part is the judgment of Judah and Jerusalem. Now, Judah is the people, Israelis. The people, and Jerusalem is their capital. And now it's really their capital, because the United States of America has not only recognized them, but has declared it to the whole world. And so that stands in God's sight. Yeah, that's right. That's the capital. And so God recognizes it if the world doesn't, but that's their problem. But if you curse them, and if you feel like they're not God's people, well, some of them are, but some of them are not. Some of them are, and some of them are not. You and I can't judge their hearts, so you cannot tell. You don't know who is. Netanyahu, you don't know if he's a Christian or still Jewish or just secular. You don't know. And I don't even know if he knows. But Robert has witnessed to him and told him, don't do this, and he did it. And then he witnessed to him again and said, I don't do what you did last time. You're going to be prime minister again. And now he is. So whether then he becomes a Christian, because he said he would. But whether he did or not, I don't know. Probably Robert knows. I don't know that. I mean, maybe he told Robert. Yeah, I'm not one of you guys. But he's certainly doing a lot of things that normally the president of Israel wouldn't do. He's given us a lot of favor, and he seems to be parallel with the new president we have. So, you know, it's good, because they're one of our few allies, maybe the best ally you can have. If you bless Israel, you'll be blessed. And there are a lot of people here in Texas that believe that all over this state. And millions and millions and millions of people believe that Israel should be blessed, and that you'll be blessed. Your blessings will multiply. So I'm going to teach you some things today, but I want to go on to the next thing. So the first part is the judgment, and Jesus is coming back for judgment. So the judgment, this was done way back there, but now it's going to be repeated again. So there'll be another judgment and then another deliverance. So he judged the wicked, and then the righteous were delivered. They were set aside for God's purposes. So obviously Ezekiel is one of the righteous ones. He was a righteous one. And Jeremiah was one of the righteous ones, so on and so forth. So there were Israelites who actually were righteous by faith. They believed the word of God. They believed the word of God. They had a fear of God, said, don't just blow God off because you read it. Don't just nod at the Western Wall. This has to be from the heart. And there were people that did. And Ezekiel is one of them. He was God's strength, giving him hope in the future. So the next thing is the judgment of the Gentile nations. And there are seven. One is Ammon. Two is Moab. Three is Esau. And then Tyre and Sidon. And the Philistines. And then also you had Egypt. So those seven will be judged in this book. So that's the second part of the book. First part, 1 through 24, is the first part. That is judgment of Judah and Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar. Three times there was a pulling away of Israelis to Babylon. Three times. There are three different visitations. But this one came at the second time in 596. In 596, 97. And that was, the first one was Daniel. That should be the book before us, actually. But Daniel was the first one. He went with the first group. And it was a young man and so on. But this man is probably about 25 years old. Forget the exact age, but somewhere in there. And in about 5 years, he began his ministry. But he'd already heard the Lord. He was called. Now he's given his mission. And he will be a prophet. He's a priest by background, but he will also be a prophet. And his father's name was Buzzy, or Boozy, but it's Buzzy. And so that's his father. The third part is Israel's full restoration. That's the millennium. That's the millennium. Israel will actually get back their land, and that's why the disciples asked him after he rose from the dead, will you at this time restore Israel to her kingdom? You cursed Israel and that fig leaf and so on and so forth. But what about now? Are you going to do it now? You're going to restore the Abrahamic covenant and finish that thing off? It is not for you to know. Oh, yuck. You have to know. It's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father himself has fixed. Fixed to the end of time. Very much at the last days. As a matter of fact, the second coming of Jesus. When he comes back, he'll not only come back for his bride to marry her, and will rapture up to heaven after the trib, but before the wrath. We'll never face wrath. We'll never face wrath. But you'll be in heaven with Jesus, caught up in the air, and remain there until the new heaven and the new earth. And so you'll be for 1,000 years, and we're already in the 7,000th time. So, but it says in the Old Testament, on the third day. It doesn't say at the beginning of it, but it is at the beginning, but we don't know what beginning means for 1,000 years. I don't know what that means. But we're in the 7,000th year, according to the numerology of the Bible. According to the numerology in the Bible, we're in that time. So 2,000 years from Jesus, that would be 1996, something like that. And now we're waiting for this promise. But one thing about a promise is you have to realize what's promised. One thing about a promissory note, you have to realize, what is this promise? And when you wait for a promise, you have to be patient. Promises are always built on time. They're always built on time. So you never know, when is this promise going to come? Well, God writes in such interesting ways that you can't exactly know the day or the hour, but you can know the season. We're in the season. I don't know exactly when it is, but I know what's going on right now. He's dividing Israel from Israel, church from church, Gentiles from Gentiles. I know what he's doing. He's dividing off those that are believers and those that are non-believers. He's dividing us. And you can see it in America. America is divided today. Everywhere you go. Some people in America still are psychological. Did you hear what I just said? So psychologically means you still exalt your will, my will, not his. You still exalt your mind, take every thought captive to the word of God. Take it captive. In other words, when you have a thought, make sure God agrees with that thought. Check that out with the word. And because a lot of people really feel like, hey, I'm not having a lot of fun. You know, this is not fun. I am. I'm having a lot of fun because I'm a believer. And so I rejoice always. Dave, do you rejoice always? I know you do. So, yeah, pretty much. I mean, we're not talking about behavior. We're talking about your faith. And then you act on the faith. You not only have faith, but you act on the faith. And when you act on the faith, he multiplies it. And when he multiplies it, you get an experience that says, I know that I know that I know. And this is my testimony. Now you have the blood of the Lamb, the word of your testimony, and because you love not your lives to the death. That's a Christian. That's a hot Christian. Now, I would say, I'm looking around, I would say everyone here is a Christian, but not only that, you not only believe, you're justified by faith, you're also being sanctified in the Holy Spirit right now, and a lot of you have already had experiences in your life to know that he actually is chosen you, and you know it, and you know it. You know that you know that you know. It's something in you that says, I don't have any doubts. I'm clinging to what I originally started with. I ain't going to let go of that confidence I have. And even though my flesh is not completely gone, it's so much gone, it doesn't now have dominion over me like it used to. Everybody here could say that. Yeah, I used to be, you know, a pagan. I used to be, you know, listen to my mind, will, and emotions. Now, I don't. I don't listen to them anymore because the Word of God is designed to do one thing. Kill the will. Kill the self. Kill the mind. Kill the emotions. Why? Is there anything wrong with mind, will, and emotions? Yes. What is it? The flesh. You see, your will still has flesh in it. It's the flesh that's the problem, not the mind. It's the flesh that's the problem, not the will. It's the flesh that's the problem. But you could have a new mind. In fact, every day you should have a new mind. He renews your mind every morning. So you don't follow your will. You say something like this, not my will, but thine be done. You just say it. You do it by faith, so you don't have to feel it or understand it. Just do it. And then he multiplies it, and then you get an experience that says, wow, this is God's will for me. I'm going to act this way. Many of you don't want to suffer, you know, all kinds of things. But a lot of your suffering is due to your own flesh. Amen. However, you can overcome that flesh now. You don't have to wait till tomorrow or the next day. You can actually destroy your mind and will and emotions every day. Every day. And God is in the business, Jesus Christ is in the business of interceding for us. And every day he will speak to his beloved. If you're one of his beloved, he speaks to you and gives you peace, gives you words, gives you direction, gives you instruction. He's actually teaching us, this is a sin you haven't seen before. I'm working on that. May I have your permission? Yes, Lord, and do whatever it takes to get rid of that. Wow, that God, he loves that because he will multiply that and give you not just what you asked for, but even more than you asked for. Now, that's possible in this room, is there are people here that have seen, not just believe, but seen the glory of God, and you can have that every day. Amen. You can have that every day. But maybe what you're seeing is your sin. But you can have that every day and confess it. You don't have to have, go around the church or swing from, the chandeliers. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do anything. Because he who began a good work in you will surely, certainly complete it.
Hallelujah.
So you'll be ready on the day of Jesus Christ without spot, wrinkle, blemish, stain, nothing. There'll be no sin. And immediately. But when he comes back, that'll be finalized. But today, even today, you could celebrate and say, sin still, sometimes I sin. However, it doesn't have any grip on me because the Holy Spirit convicts me of that sin. Immediately I confess it, and immediately I change. How many, I don't want to see your hand, but how many here know that that's what God wants? And I'm going to prove it today out of this chapter. You just don't need faith. A lot of people just, well, I believed in Jesus. Oh, that's true. But that's only the beginning. But unless you continue on, you'll fall back. Unless you continue on, those people won't make it. So just believing on Jesus, Baptists do that, that's not a guarantee of anything. That's not a guarantee of anything. Because you have to be cleansed. And cleansing is a daily. You take up your cross daily. Daily. Every day. Now I'd say, I haven't convinced all of you that this is a daily thing, but I think I've convinced Karen. It's daily. And it's joyous. Because all you got to do is say, sorry, I did that. Or I thought that. Or I didn't forgive her. Oh, I knew that. You know, it's easy. It's not that hard. As a matter of fact, it's too sweet. It's too sweet to know that God wants me to live in such a way that even though I might do something wrong, and I will, but he'll show it to me. And then immediately he does. I'm convicted, and I don't deal with it. I don't deal with it. I don't have willpower to deal with it. I just simply say, no, that's not me. You've defined me in a new way, and I'm going to live that new way. And I don't know whether I'm in the millennium or post-millennium, or I don't know where I am, but I know that's God, and I'm doing it, regardless. And since it's by faith, you don't have to think about it. You don't have to think about it. There's no effort. There's no work. Because he's not asking you to work under the law. You're not under a law anymore. You're neither Catholic or Protestant or Jewish or Muslim or Buddhist or any kind of religion. Or you're nothing but a sinner saved by grace. No, no, no. You're a sinner justified by grace, by faith. Also then sanctified by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and also being led by the Holy Spirit, born of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, led of the Spirit. Those three. That's pure cleansing. Now, somebody say, that's extra credit. I'm going by my faith. You cannot do that. I'm just telling you, what I preach, I don't care what anyone else preaches. What I preach is you have to be perfect. The third part is that you not only have that you have faith in Jesus, this chair right here, you not only have that, but then he wants you to also be sanctified by the Holy Spirit, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that is also something powerful, but you also have to be then led of the Spirit. Now you're sons of God. And that means your walk is the same as your talk. Now, is it always? No, it's not always. But he doesn't want that until he comes back again. So you have all three of these chairs, and they work together. So you're born again of the Spirit. You have a new birth, new life, and your heart is pure. Your heart is pure because you're living by the Word. But you have to act on this Word. Here you are, submitting to Jesus Christ as Lord, not just Savior, but Lord, and then Bridegroom. Now, to be married, you can't have a spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. So all three of those, I'm not saying about anyone else where they're going. I don't care where anyone else is going. I only know this is what his will is. His will is that you not only have all your sins forgiven, you not only are being cleansed from all unrighteousness, you not only are being perfected by the Holy Spirit and led by that Spirit to live a holy life, which men see. They don't see this, they don't see that. They don't see your heart, they don't see your soul. Your soul must die so that this may live. Here is death, here is resurrection, there is life. You're born to die, to resurrect. Y'all following that? So the individual is much more important than the group, church. You're the body of Christ, corporately. But you're also part of his church. I will build the church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against her. You're the bride of Christ. Not everybody could be part of the body of Christ, but not necessarily the bride. I'm going to say it again. A lot of Christians who only have born again are part of the body. I don't know what happens to them. All I know is this is what he wants. I'm not asking how little can I do and be a Christian. I'm not asking that question. I'm asking, what is it you want? I want to please you, not just obey your laws or do what I need to do. I don't want you to do anything. I've done this, and I've done this, and I've done this. So if you want to be certain, they have that certainty of this word before you see it with your eyes. Someday Job says, I will, though worms destroy this body, yet I will believe I'll see the Lord in the land of the living. That's powerful. Jesus said, that's a perfect person. That's a perfect person. So he was one of the few in the Old Testament. There are several. But he's one of the few that are said, this one is perfect. Now, God's speaking from heaven. That doesn't mean everything he did was perfect. What it meant was perfect because he's perfectly following that his faith was in his Redeemer. He said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And even though he only heard him with the hearing of the ear, he's about to, because he's acting on this, he's about to say, I'm not going to let my integrity go. I don't think I did anything wrong, and that's what's causing things. I don't know what God is doing. I wish he'd come down here. I wish he'd be right here. I'd argue with him, and I'd keep my integrity until he proves to me. Now, I don't want him up in heaven proven. I want him down on earth so we can talk man to man. And so, in the end, he went, uh-oh, I was dealing with things way beyond myself. And God said, no, I'm just perfecting you so that you're one of these. So, what he prophesied in the first place is, devil, have you seen my servant Job? He said, yeah, but you got a hedge around him. Take away the hedge, he'll curse you to your face. And so, he said, okay. Yeah, I give them to you. Only one thing, don't kill him bodily. But everything else, yeah, he can do it. Killed his children, killed everybody except his nagging wife. He didn't kill her. And God was not mad at Mrs. Job. He was not angry at all at her. He never rebuked her. He rebuked a lot of his friends and so on and so forth, but he never rebuked her. So it's okay for you to be ungodly. Like she was. She just, I don't have any faith in that. You have boils on you and get out of the house. You have friends and I don't like them and, you know, so on and so forth. So you just curse God and die. Let's get this thing over with. You're a miserable coot and get out. And so God never bawled her out. Isn't that amazing? You women, particularly, you have a husband that loves you unconditionally. And so take advantage of that. Did you hear what I just said? Because you should see heaven on earth. As in heaven, so on earth. As in heaven, so on earth. So, can you do that today? Yes, you can. But donum partum, not donum totum. If you studied Latin, you'd realize partum means partially, you see it, but not totally. This is total. This is total. This is totally, totally. When he comes back, you'll have a new body and new soul and new life to match your new heart. You'll see it all. But he's already given you this now, but you have to act on it. So having faith isn't faith if it's dead. If it's dead, it doesn't go anywhere. And I blame the pastors for that. I blame the pastors for not, you know, preaching like I'm preaching. It's not personal. I don't even know anybody. I'm just saying, pastors need to live this, not just talk this. They need to live it, and that's what the problem is. The church today needs a revival. It needs whatever. That's probably the wrong word, but it needs God's touch again, the second time, before he comes back, so that we realize, wow, we've been taught only this. If you're born again, you're a Protestant. If you're born again and do works, then you're a hypocrite, and so on and so forth. And a lot of Catholics are Christians. They believe all that other stuff that's not necessary, but they also believe in Jesus. And I know a lot of Catholics like that love Jesus with all their heart and soul and strength. And so it isn't the denomination you belong to. It's what's going on in your heart, and only God knows that. So I don't even know here, except I think if you come to a little bitty church like this, you have to have something going for you, because it's not big and crowded, and you know we have screens up here and all that. We don't want to have any of that. Are we getting that? Amen. So praise God. So you'd have to come by the Holy Spirit. You'd have to come by the Holy Spirit. But I believe personally, I'm a man of God, and I believe that I don't want any sin in my life. I don't make provision for sin. How many of you are like that? Don't raise your hand. But you need to be like that, because I want you to be heading for this chair right here, that when he comes back, he's going to find his bride. He'll snatch us out of the fire, snatch us on. You'll never go through the fire. There'll be no second death for you. Biologically, you can die, but when you die, you're not dead as a believer. When you die, you're still alive in God's sight. And so this is just finishing it off, spirit, soul, body. So that your body and your soul, which is dead now, dead to this world, alive to God. In other words, you can't be dominated by your mind, will, and emotions. So your will should say these words every day: not my will, but thine be done. Just show me what your will is, I'll do it. And you just do it by faith. You don't have to understand it. You don't have to want it. You don't have to understand anything or feel something. Just do it. And will you be wrong sometimes? Sure. Don't worry about that. Don't even think about that. Jesus said, I began a good work in you. I'll surely complete it. Okay. It's not up to you. It's up to Jesus. So this is the part that's missing in most churches, is that you have to suffer. They don't believe in that. Chair 5 is so important. This chair 5 is extremely important, because unless you're dead, you can't love. There's no love here if there's no death here. Okay. By the blood of the Lamb, chair 4. By the word of my testimony, chair 5, which is Jesus Christ is my Lord, and I submit to him. And by the word of my testimony, and because I love not my life to the death. And here, this is how you'll die biologically, unless you live. You could be here when Jesus comes back. If you just lived another 20, 30 years, you're probably in. I don't know when he's coming, and I don't really care. I'm not curious about that. But I would like, just in my own personal life, I don't think I've ever finished all the stuff God wanted me to do, and I think that's why I'm alive. I think. I'm not trying to convince anybody. I'm just saying. I think God isn't done with Dallas, and doesn't done with Fort Worth, and done with Texas, and done with the United States, and so on. Because it's probably unlikely that any other nation is going to come to the same faith we have, not in Europe. I mean, I'm not saying there are not any Christians there, but I'm just saying they're rare. But I don't say they're impossible. They're just rare. But this nation, I know, was raised on God, you know. My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty. That's from God. That does not come from man. You look anywhere in the world, when you have tyrants, you don't have liberty. And all the whole world is into tyranny. Even our own government now is. And we're trying to overcome it. Would Trump be successful? I have no idea. But I do know it's a wake-up call for the church. The church needs to preach this full gospel. The full gospel is not just being born again, and it's not just being spirit-filled. It's also being born again and spirit-filled and spirit-led. You have to be led by God every day. That's when you begin to experience daily. That's part of your testimony here. That's faith. That's hope. This is love. That's faith. That's hope. This is love. So faith, hope, and love. Faith destroys your will. Hope is in the midst of all your trials and tribulations, you still don't lose your hope. And love is where you love one another, and that's the way it'll be when Jesus comes back. The minute he comes back, the nanosecond that he comes back, you'll have your new body and your new soul, and you'll get on a cloud, and it has your name on it. I'm sure it'll give you the key, turn that thing on, and you'll be floating up to heaven on clouds. I've never seen that, and I have no understanding of that at all. I've never seen anyone ride on a cloud. But the early church, they saw it, and they said, the same way he went is the same way he's coming back. I believe it. I believe he'll land right on the Mount of Olives, and he'll stretch himself out, and streams will come out, and all kinds of weird things that are mentioned in this book. So, three parts to Ezekiel. One, judgment of Israel, Judah, and Jerusalem. Second part, judgment of all the nations round about. I named the seven nations. Judgment upon all those nations. They're all neighbors. The Philistines are to the west. All of these are nations round about Israel. And they're all on the land of Israel. All of them. That Israel thing was given not to the Ishmaelites. That was given to... So you don't see Saudi Arabia in here and Iran and so on. You don't see those. Why? Because they're not part of it right now. They could repent. They could repent. But it would be good if those nations round about, Ammon, Moab, and particularly Esau. I think that's where the Antichrist could come from, sharing all my secrets. But the truth is, if you read the Bible very, very carefully, you'll realize these Esau people, these Edomites, Herod was one, and, Haman was one, and they're all over the place, and they hate Israel with an implacable hatred. Today, you can't see those names. Those names are not there. That doesn't mean they're not there. They're still there. And they will all be judged. And when God judges them, you might see that Esau is the one that shows up, because she's always been an antichrist ever since the beginning. And the other two could be, but they're from a previous one, Jacob and Esau. Esau produced. Then there's another one. Jacob had a brother, and that brother started, and he was promised 12 kingdoms by God. Remember when he kicked them out, and then he almost died in the bush? No. The other two are from Lot. Remember, after mother turned into a pillar of salt. And so then the girls, the daughters, they slept with their father and produced the Moabites and the Ammonites. The Moab is far to the east. The other one is north, Ammon. Ammon, Moab. And the last one on the south is Seir, which is a mountain. But that nation, Esau, that's where they all are. And they always rejoice when Israel's in trouble. You think the Muslims are doing it today? They're part of the Muslim deal. They're part of the Muslim deal. But they're called Muslims now, and they're part of a friendly nation toward Israel today, but it isn't. I'm just telling you, those people are still there. And you know what? God never changes the characters in the book. They just hit, you know, a new kind of clothing and so on and so forth. They're the same people. And so you'll notice there's a repetition in the Bible that the same people are doing the same things. These are ancient, you know, antichrists. And they're not done yet. They're not through yet. But after God judges, he always redeems. After God judges, he always redeems. After God judges, he always redeems. So, you might think, well, God is going to do away with all the Ammonites. No, not really. He could make them new creations. he'll get rid of all the Moabites. No, not really. He could make them new creations too. So then they're not under a curse. And so they'll be like us. But we need to be the light. This is the light right here. Your outer deeds. You'll be saved by your deeds. It isn't that you're saved by your deeds. Is that these are God-wrought deeds. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, meekness, and self-control. All of these are gifts of God, and they're Jesus. They're not you at all. So Christ in you, that's the hope of glory. There'll be no glory here. This is where you love your neighbor as yourself. That's where you worship God. This is your death that stands between them. Your death is the only thing keeping you from life eternal. Spirit, soul, body. When a disciple is fully taught, you'll not only die to your soul, you'll die to everything in this world. And God wants you not to be part of this world anymore. And I believe, Alex, you have a little ways to go. Am I correct? Yeah. So a little ways to go. Just a teeny weeny little bit. But God doesn't want any sin in us, right? And as soon as he convicts you, immediately confess it. Just say it. Don't feel it and, you know, get a rhema or whatever. Just say it. God, I exaggerated. God, I didn't forgive her. God, I was greedy right there. God, I was a mammonus today. Whatever. Just confess it. Those are sins. He doesn't want you to be godly. He wants you to be ungodly. He's not saving godly people. He's saving ungodly people. And if you believe that God will love you because you're ungodly in behavior, I don't care how it is, there's ungodliness in you. He wants to remove all of that from this chair so that you are one of these, like a bride without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. This is what he's coming back for. All I'm doing, I'm not teaching you this, I'm just simply stating it. All he wants is you to be all three of these, so that you're ready when he comes back to marry the bridegroom looking for his bride. And you'll be a glorious bride. And you didn't do it. He did it all. He saved you on the cross there, his cross. Then you take up your cross and follow him till you're dead. And then you're able to live for the first time. Right? Okay, let's now read the 34th chapter, see how far I get. The word which came to Jeremiah, not Ezekiel, this is in Ezekiel though. The word which came to Jeremiah from Yahweh, when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army, and listen to this, all kingdoms of the earth, because his hand rules. His hand rules. And all the peoples fought against Jerusalem and against all its cities, saying, so says Yahweh, the God of Israel, go and speak to Zedekiah, king of Judah, and tell him, so says Jehovah, behold, I will give the city, this city, into the hand of the king of Babylon. Now that's God's instruction. I'm going to give this city. What? We're Jewish. We're good people. Yes, you are in theory, but not in fact. I want de facto. I want to see people actually living on the earth, because when men see your good works, these are the only good works they'll see. The good works that you did today. This is, I'm indicting everybody here, including me. I'm indicting everybody here. You're not yet fully ready for Jesus to come back. But you need to be, and every day you need to pray, God, if there's any wicked way in me, show me. Reveal that to me. And I'll confess it, and I'll then cooperate with anything you want to do. But I'm not doing it. You're going to do it. Wow. That's a God. That's a God that loves you so much, He gives you this and this and this until you're just like God. Love, love, love. Love, love, love. Now, not just love. Our love is not just agape. You have that for everybody. Agape is for everybody. But you have the phileo kind of love. In other words, the same way I loved you, Peter, I want you to love the others. I feel, well, what do you mean? Well, I want you to feed my sheep. I want you to feed my lambs, and so on and so forth. But he changed the words right there if you read the original. You change the words from agape to then phileo. In other words, I don't want you to love them like we love everybody. I want you to love them, even though they're sinners and so on and so forth. I want you to love them, just your brethren, with phileo. Love me in the same way I loved you. Lay down your life. Chair 5. Lay down your life so you can be chair 6. Because this is the fruit of that. And that's the fruit of that. So 4 leads to 5, leads to 6. But it leads through 5 to get to 6. You have eternal life, yes, but that's not going to save you. I'm just going to tell you, salvation is all 3 chairs. All I'm saying is salvation, redemption, is all 3 chairs. Whatever you've been taught, it's wrong. Whatever you've been taught about, well, I do believe in Jesus. That's not enough. Do not rest there. That's only the beginning. It's a good beginning. It's a foundation. But then you build the house, which is to die, so that you can live in God's house, so that your house speaks to his house speaks to your house, and then you become, when men see your good works, they'll give glory to your Father in heaven. So God wants that. So this is what's going to happen to Judah and Jerusalem, and the thing that God hates most of all in the world, you're going to be surprised when you hear this, the thing that God hates most of all is Jewish religion. Why? Because they have a higher calling, and they haven't reached it yet, and they have to reach it by the gospel. They have to reach it by the gospel. So you can do all the works you want to in Judaism, nod at the wall and, you know, love your neighbors, have Scythians and so on. It's not going to do you any good because nothing under a law is perfect. And every other religion is under a law. Every, without exception. Ours is the only religion, only if you do all 3 of these, is the only religion that promises you eternal life, spirit, soul, and body. When a disciple, chair 5, is fully taught, he will be like the master. Ah, you not only have the image of Christ, chair 4, but after your death, you'll have 5 being like. There's where the word like comes in. Bet solemnu kedemutnu. Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. So God wants you to be like him on earth as it is in heaven. You can't do this in heaven. You're going to do it on earth. God wants the church to be more perfect than we are today. So we are today. Everybody here is a believer. Good. But now you have to be perfected in love. You have to keep going until you have that perfect love that says, not my will, but thine be done. That kills your will. This one here, take every thought captive to the word of God. That kills, so that all that's left in you is no flesh ruling your soul. You want to have now every word taken captive to the word of God. So you, every time you have a thought, take it to the word of God. So what about the humanists? Man is the measure of all things. Not so. God is the measure of everything. God is the measure of everything in heaven and earth, invisible and invisible. God is God, and there's no one else like him. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So this the Father, this the Son, this the Holy Spirit. All of this is through the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that conforms you to his death. Why? every day. You have to have that. The blood of his testimony, word of my own testimony, his testimony, my testimony. He took a cross, I have a cross. Now, my life is what people are looking at. They only see my life. They can't conclude from my words that I'm a Christian. You could be a hypocrite. They can't conclude that. So we don't know, Dan, if you're really mature right now. You say no. You say you're not mature. Then you need to be, and that's what you have to pray every day. God, if there's any wicked way, show it to me. And I'll immediately confess it. And I'll give you all the praise. And as a matter of fact, since I'm already a believer, I want to be a mature believer. I want to go all the way. And so that's possible. Not only is it possible, it's mandatory in terms of the promise that was given. I'll do it. Well, then it's mandatory. If it's mandatory for Jesus to do it, it's mandatory for you to do it. But what you do is nothing. You let him do it all. You let him do it all of this. Wow, that is good news. I tell you, that's good news. It works for me. I hope it works for you.
Praise God.
This is so powerful, whatever he's saying in here. Now then, let's see, where am I?
35.
Are you in Jeremiah?
34.
Jeremiah.
I'm 34.
Ezekiel 34.
Yeah.
Ezekiel?
And you, did I do burn it with fire?
That's Jeremiah.
Oh, I'm on the wrong chapter. That was a good one. Actually, they have the same message. I mean, it's not. It's different. But that's a good one. Sorry about that. Thank you all for figuring that out. God forgive me for that sin. Hope I don't go to hell on that one. All right. So 34, let me see if I can find that. Yeah, it's right where this card is. Okay. Well, skip all of that. That was all wrong. Okay, 33, 34. And the word of the Lord, no wonder it was Jeremiah. And the word of the Lord, Yahweh, was to me saying, Son of man. Anyone can be a son of man. King David was son of man. Son of man, great one on earth, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and state to them, to the shepherds, so saith the Lord Jehovah, woe to the shepherds of Israel who are feeding themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? It's what we're doing today. You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool. You sacrifice the fat ones, and you do not feed the flock. Pastors, there it is, pastors, they have to pay attention to this. You have not made the weak strong. You have not healed the sick. You have not bound up the broken. And the banished have not been brought back. And you have not sought the lost, but you rule them with force and with harshness, and they were scattered for lack of a shepherd. The true shepherd. Jesus said, I am the true shepherd. And they became food to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep strayed through all the mountains because they didn't have shepherd. Had a shepherd that did not lead them, did not care for them. And my sheep were scattered on all the face of the earth, and none searched out, and none sought for them. For this reason, shepherds, pastors, hear the word of Yahweh. As I live, declares the Lord God Yahweh, surely because my sheep became a prey, my sheep, they're not the pastor's sheep. This is not my church. It's not David's church. It's not anyone's church. It's your church only in the sense that it's God's church. You're the sheep. And so I have to lay down my life for you. Have to? I want to. I do it for no pay. Why? Because God supplies all my needs according to the riches of Christ. I don't need to worry about myself. I need to have faith in God, act on that, and then God supplies. When you act on it, you show that you believe the promise. You remember This is so powerful. You know what? When Abraham believed God, now he's the father of faith. He looked at the stars and sand of the sea and dust of the earth. He looked at all that and said, wow, you're going to have more kids than that. And he believed God. But that's not what made him really faith. What made it faith is that if you believe in God and it's a promise, and he promised to do everything for you, everything, then you rejoice. And so name your son Yitzhak. He shall laugh. In other words, after you believe in God, if you're miserable, you missed it. You didn't really believe it's a promise that he would keep. You thought it was a deed that you had to do. You thought Christianity was a man work. It's not. Your works all have to be God wrought. Every work that you do afterward is happiness. Happiness produces holiness. So, if you're dead here, then you're dead here. And that's all God wants. And he gets all the glory. He'll just turn around and give you the glory. So God wants you to be happy. Now, are you happy all the time? See, I can ask that. Are you happy all the time? And when you're not, that's a sin. It's just God. There must be a sin in my life or something. Like Job. Guy's saying there's a sin, but I don't see it. Come down and show me. If you're God and you love me, you come down here and show me yourself. I don't want a mediator. I want you. But when Jesus came down, he said, the Father sent me. I come in his name. Oh. Are you my kinsman redeemer? Yes, I am. Oh, well, and you're the one I'm looking for. So God only has one mediator between himself and you, Jesus Christ. That's what made the Reformation the Reformation. Luther believed that it was sola fide, only faith, only. He's not talking about this three thing. He's just talking about that first one, justification by faith. And he said, I don't know if I dare preaching on this. Most of his sermons were all on this chair and this chair. Most of them. They're not on faith. So even though he's the father of faith or, you know, followed that father, the truth is he didn't preach a lot of sermons on that. He actually focused all on your deeds. Every sermon that he preached, I've read tons and tons and tons of them, but every sermon that he preached was all on works. But it's not work man produced, it's works that God produced, because he believed that the word was above the Pope. It's above the teaching magisterium in the Catholic Church. It's above the councils. It's above everything. It's above the emperor. It's above everything, because we have one Jesus, and you can only read that through the word. So because of that, they didn't agree, because they had a lot of tradition in their church. All kinds of things that are not in the Bible. That's not what he was after, changing that. What he was after is make the Word of God the only authority. Sola fide, sola scriptura, sola fide, solus Christus, soli Deo gloria. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. That's the mighty fortress. This is the mighty fortress right here. This perfection of you is the mighty fortress of God. This power right here, that God does not want you to work. God wants you to relax, enter his rest. Just enter into his rest. I've never worked a day in my life. I've never. I've always been lazy. Does anyone have that gift? Laziness? Yes. We all have. I mean, I don't care how successful you are. You are lazy. In the end, you're lazy. That's one of the slovenly lusts. You're slovenly. It's okay. He's not mad at you because you're slovenly. That's just, he forgives those kind of people. Did you know that God forgives all sinners? No, not one. No, not one. Not one is perfect. Not one can match this. So if it happens, you know it was God. If this happens to you, it was not you. It's an experience that you had because you believed, acted on it, then this happened, your death, and then your resurrection.
Praise God.
In this world. That's powerful.
Hallelujah.
So that's the joy of the Lord. That's the joy of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now I understand how Tracy Harris running around that building that night. That's everywhere. He was a guy, our last speaker that we had at our convocation. And he was just everywhere running. He had so much energy, it was hard to believe. And so I used to be a gymnast, so I could do that when I was younger, but not anymore. And so, but I just admired that. I admired that so much, as this guy is full of energy. He's full of joy unspeakable. You could not stop him. He was healing everybody, and everybody was there, and just, you know, they just fall down and were healed and so on. It's powerful.
Amen.
But he didn't do it because he was in the flesh. He did it because he was in the Spirit. He said, the Spirit, this is my home right here. This is where I came from. And he's powerful. So I believe that God wants his ministers to be like that, full of energy that God gives you. He can give you supernatural energy so that you can do these works. You need the power from the Holy Spirit. Here's the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit. You need that power to kill your flesh and then to resurrect you so that you're conformable to his death. So we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, 4. And then the word of our testimony, 5. And then being conformable to his death. You need to have both of those. You love not your life to the death. So I don't want any provision for flesh in this church. I'm starting with you, Alex.
Yeah,
probably
you.
I shouldn't. I probably should. Someone is ahead of him. No.
Good.
No, it's good. No, he is ready. He is ready. He is a blessed brother.
Yeah.
He's a blessed brother. God wants you to all make no provision for the flesh. Just say that. God, if there's anything, I don't want it. I don't want to be like people that are depressed. I don't want to be like people that are sad. I don't want to be like people that won't take risks and so on and so forth. You say it, I do it.
Okay.
You say it, I do it. And if I do it, it'll be multiplied. And if it's multiplied, I'll end up here. So that when men see, they say, wow, what you just did, I heard God. That's all I look for in a minister. I want to hear God. I want to cry. I want to laugh. I want it to touch me emotionally. Here's your emotions right here. This is the emotional side of you. Here's your mind right here. Here's your will right here. Not my will, but thine be done. And here, I want all my mind to submit to God's word. And here, I want all my soul to be happy all the time. And it is. It truly is. So I'm not depressed or sad or anything. I bless all my enemies. Fret not because of them. I'm not fretting because of homosexual agenda and the Al-Qaeda. And, you know, they're trying to take over and so on. So it's nothing. It's nothing. What I need to do is what God told me to do. You get cleaned up. Don't worry about everybody else. You get cleaned up. You get cleaned up, and then you'll be a blessing. And so that's it. I want to be a blessing to everybody. And, you know, God is good. God is good. Amen?
Amen.
So aren't you happy all the time?
Yes.
Raul, are you happy all the time?
Amen.
Amen. Why? It's by faith. You don't have to understand it. Just do it. I'm happy all the time. Just speak to yourself. You speak to yourself. This is how you, not your will, but thine be done. God, I'm ready. Whatever the cup is, I'll drink it. Whatever the dregs are, I'm drinking it to the dregs. I want to go all the way. But to be that, you have to know you're ungodly. You have to know that when God shows you a sin, he's not wanting to convict you of the sin. He's wanting to convince you that that sin is his problem, not yours. So he's just showing you something he's working on. He's not showing you something for you to work on. Whenever he shows you a sin, you say, thank you, Lord, I would never have seen that. That's a miracle. Wow, is that bogging me down? Wow, sorry, didn't know it. But now, I confess that right now. Boom, you're free. And you laugh, and you keep laughing all the way. Yitzhak, he laughs. He shall laugh. He shall laugh. So I want us to be the happiest people. We have a church called Happy Church. I think it's up in
Maryland.
Yeah, yeah, it's good. And she's good. She always prophesies over you and gives you good words and so on and so forth. And she's happy. I don't know if the guy is, but she is. But she knows that's her ministry. And so she's full of happiness, full of joy. And that's great. That's what we want. That's the kind of energy as a Christian. Rejoice in the Lord sometimes. No.
Always.
Wow. Rejoice in the Lord always. Well, when can I gripe? When can I complain? Never. So the Christian life is Emotionally, you have to be here. That's why people don't make it, because they don't want to die to themselves. Your thoughts are messing up your emotions. Your thoughts are messing up your emotions. Here's what the Bible says. I'm going to have to skip Ezekiel for now. What it says is, thou shalt keep him. God shall keep you. God shall keep you. God shall keep you. Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. So there you have it. There it settled every psychological problem you could ever have in the world. It just solved it. So you can never be depressed. Do you see what I just said? Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace. That's the end you're aiming for, this one. If your mind is not wiggling around and it's double-minded, because a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. How many people today are unstable? Not just the Democratic Party, but every party. Everyone is unstable. I mean, that's why they drink. That's why they're on drugs. That's why they're workaholics. Whatever they have. For me, this is pleasure. It's all recreation for me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'm entering into his rest. I rested in his finished work on the cross, where he said, it's finished. But that was done 4,000 years prior to his being on the cross in 30 AD. And so he actually said, I did all your works before the foundation of the world. I lived your life then. You did? I'd have to have faith to believe in that, because I can't see that. He said, no, don't see it. Just believe it. So that's killing my soul. That's killing me right here so that I can be right here. Thou shalt keep him. Not you. You don't keep yourself. You cannot keep yourself. Do not try to keep yourself. You be God's servant, slave. You be his trustee. You be his steward. You be his, you know, wherever he wants you to do it and say it, just do it and say it. He wants to have total control of everybody here. Now, the happiest woman I can think of in this church is this lady right here.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's true. Always when you see her, she's full of joy. Is your mother not full of joy, or does she get mad at home or something like that? She's happy. Yeah. Yeah. So that's great. I'm just illustrating right now. I'm just saying. It's possible for you to be joyful. I don't care what happens. You can be joyful because of Jesus' promise. We're living by a word. You don't even see it. Everything in the Catholic Church, in the Jewish Church, is all outward. Everything is visible. They have the robes, and they have the, you know, everything is altars, and they have buildings and all that kind of stuff. We don't need buildings. This is a rent place. But we just pay a few hundred dollars, I think $300 a week, whenever we meet. That's nothing. It's nothing. It's ridiculous. David arranged that. You did that. Yeah. It's powerful. What I'm saying is, they set everything up and tear everything down. We don't have to do anything. Just come in and preach and it's over. I love it. I love God. Everything's going our way. Zippity-doo-da, zippity-a. You cannot make us unhappy. I mean, things happen that are unhappy. But you don't have to be unhappy because things look or appear to be unhappy. You know? You just pray for your relatives. Pray for the people that are miserable and so on. Set them free. Deliver them. Whatever you need to do. But get them so that they're here. But you can't get somebody else here if you're not here. You have to be this. You can't just talk about it. You have to walk it. So, powerful.
It's just the peace of God that I have.
The peace of God.
It's totally.
Totally peace. Yeah. Peace, because he loves you and he's not going to change his mind.
No. Just love it.
Too sweet. Yeah, it's precious. That's a miracle. Yes, Raul.
The other day I was just a testimony. The other day I was sitting there just thinking, and I kept on doing, I don't know if anybody else does this, but I kept on thinking of what if scenarios, what if something happens to my son or my daughter or my, what's going on, all that stuff. And then suddenly I believe God gave me, he says, well, what if you're happy for the rest of the time that you're here? And what if you help other people while you're here because God gives it to you? And what if your children become, you know, stronger in the Lord and your marriage becomes stronger in the Lord, and then you go into heaven and eternity? What if that?
Yeah.
Which is totally foreign from my...
Totally foreign. Thinking. Right. It kills your flesh.
Yeah, exactly. It killed my
flesh
automatically, and I was
doing
it for the rest
of the day. Too powerful. Why not be happy for the rest of your life?
Amen.
This is the first day of happiness forever.